Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
That's a lot I could say, and it's a lot I don't even need to say.
Oh, no.
That little ditty, okay, that you just heard.
Little?
Mm-hmm.
Big, was it? That was a...
okay.
I felt like I heard her coming around the corner before she opened her mouth.
Well, listen, she was born for this.
I mean, okay? 100,000%.
That little ditty you just heard is the big number from Cats, okay, which is a legendary musical from Broadway that they've now adapted to film. Hate it or love it, it's there, okay?
Did you see it?
Mm-mm.
Can we see it? Mm-hmm. No, seriously.
Listen, y'all know I'm down to go. The cats have hands, but I know some cats that got hands too, so it's all good.
Oh my
thing is this, though. The reason that it's important that people see this film, okay? Now, you remember I'm old, so I remember being a kid and seeing, like, the people in the cat costumes performing, like, excerpts on the Today Show.
Yeah.
When Cats was popular on Broadway and being confused, like, why are these people dressed like cats and everybody's taking it seriously? I remember that being like, my thought, my rationale as a child.
Yes.
Well, now that I understand the relevance of this piece to Broadway, I think it's important that we celebrate it and watch it, even if the people look like those people. So I think that one
that's
of the
so
reasons,
kind of
right?
You.
One of the reasons that we need to watch Cats, okay, is because of the music and the lyrical content of the music, y'all. That's where the real lessons are, okay? Mm. And yes, that's the big number in the show. Jennifer Hudson plays Griselda, who is the old cat who sings that song. It's called Memory, okay? And it's like the number from the production.
Right.
And all of the greats, Patti LuPone, like everybody that Ooh. Starred Ooh. In Cats that played Griselda yes. is the person with the big number. So that's Jennifer Hudson's role.
What a dream that must have been for her.
Exactly. Like another notch. You know, I believe she has this book of like all of the great marks to make as an entertainer. And
Hit.
I think she's just hitting all of them. But I could go on and on. Anyway, you need to listen to the songs in the musical because you find life lessons there. What you just heard was an excerpt from Memory, which is a song where she says, "Touch me, it's so easy to leave me." Okay? Hmm. All along with the memory of my days in the sun, if you touch me, you'll understand what happiness is. Look, a new day has begun. Now, when I heard that, what I got was marriage advice. Okay?
Oh.
I think that sometimes in relationships, and not even necessarily marriage, okay, if you cohabitating with a motherfucker, all right? Y'all going through a thing, y'all going through your problems, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need to just look at them in the eye and say, touch me. It's so easy to leave me. And if they leave you, what you gonna be? All along with your memories of your days in the sun or the good times in the relationship.
Come on, Dustin
but the
Ross.
Next line says, if you touch me, you'll understand what happiness is. Look, a new day has begun. So if y'all fuck, you know what I'm saying? You understand what it's like to be happy with one another in the same
God.
Space. And look, in your relationship, a new day has begun.
Wow.
Okay? Touch me! It's so easy to leave me. But touch me. And if you do, you understand what happiness is. Hey, I couldn't have said it better okay. myself. The hashtag this week is touch me. With that being said, it's time for the QT damn in ass.
Hashtag touch me.
It's been a minute since we've had them. And today we're going to do something new, something different for the second one. But we'll get to that in a little bit. The first QTNA I have, first of all, rest in peace to the longtime NBA commissioner David Stern,
R.
right?
Wow.
Everybody knows
peace.
David Stern. He passed away early this year. But I want to know if it's true that when Democratic presidential hopeful Elizabeth Warren was almost arrested this weekend at JFK Airport, right, allegedly.
What?
I want to know if the reason that she was arrested is because when she put her eyes in the clear machine, David Stern's picture kept popping up, and they was like, now, you know what? I know what I read happened.
Oh, my God, friend, I'm
so
sorry.
So something is going on here.
How
I wanted
he
to know
rest
that's what
in
it
peace
was.
And then add him to the, like, How do you do that?
In the next case, okay?
Wow.
Dustin.
In this second one, QTNA actually means quick total nigga analysis, okay? That's what QTNA means. And we still on Elizabeth Warren. Wow. Speaking of her, she's the candidate that has a plan for having a plan to have a plan.
I mean,
she got a
plan
for everything, right? We got a plan for her, and it's called a glam team. I'm telling you, the only thing Elizabeth Warren is missing is glam. I say we get Tokyo Styles on hair.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
God.
Get Tokyo Styles, give her a nice like bob, pull behind one ear, and get the, who is the nigga that be dressing Zendaya and Celine Dion?
Luxury.
Put him on the gear. Oh,
luxury law.
Good. Look, let me tell you something. You do all of that, goodbye school board swag. Hello, Mrs. President. I'm telling you, that's what we need. Now, the third and final QTNA, which I've already spoken
you
about.
You might be
on
to something, though.
I'm trying to tell you.
You
I'm
might be on
it.
A few things, but I mm-hmm. guess these are conversations for later.
Yep.
So.
Elizabeth Warren, only thing she's missing, I'm telling you. Luxury law and Tokyo motherfucking styles. You get them too, and get get Morrell from the Wendy Show to do that makeup.
Morrell.
You got a president, I'm telling you.
Did you hear Cardi B wants to run for Congress?
Yes, I did.
That would be
hilarious.
That'd be kind
of speaking of glam teams in politics.
That's right, Congresswoman B. From Cardi B to Congresswoman B. I love
she about
it.
That action.
Okay. Third QTA, finally, I already mentioned this on Twitter, but I just want to know which one of y'all said Brandy Mama used to be in the OJs.
You Mama. Did, and I saw it on Twitter.
She used to be. She used to be my girl. With that
wow.
being said.
Oh, Sonya.
How do you even ease back oh, into Sonya. A new season?
Y'all know
of the
Brandy Mama looked like she could have been in the OJs. Just imagine oh, her Sonya. Hitting the steps with them, with Eddie and Walter. And
why did I
anyway.
Immediately see her falling a step in a pantsuit?
Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly and yearly and decadely
look
into
back.
All things mental health, mental wellness, and my gene. Because who wants a musty brain? I don't. Hi, friend, and hi, Sonya.
Hi, guys.
Happy New Year.
Welcome back. Woo! First episode of 2020.
That's right. And speaking of first, we have our first live show of the year coming up for 2020.
How about that?
February 13th, SonyHall.com. Search the Friend Zone. Get your tickets. It's going to be a fun, lovely, sexy affair.
Very
it is
sexy.
Cabaret style, full dinner menu available.
Drinks.
We're going to have, we have some fun plans.
Yes.
Very fun, sexy fun.
Tons plan. Of special guests. And
yes.
Just, it's going to be pre-Valentine's Day fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So if you have a date, bring your date out, make them pay for it. If you're single, take
if
yourself
you single,
out.
If you're single, come too, because yes. it's going to be some singles
please
fun
come
too.
I'm going to be single there, so we going to be in there.
Please come if you're single. This is a great way to usher in the Valentine's Day
yes.
season, okay?
Yes.
Because you may have more obligations that can be fulfilled in one night. I understand. So this is a great way to usher that in. We coming in
season
early on the 13th for those people. So if you are a cheater, this night's for you.
Oh, amen.
Just
actually.
Letting you know.
I didn't even think of that.
But great. I can't wait. This is something totally different than we've ever done before. Like Fran mentioned, it's cabaret style. There'll be drinks and dinner available.
We're going to perform in sexy outfits.
Yeah. It's like welcome to the dungeon.
Say you want a real drink. You want a real drink.
Candy.
Tell me what you're going to
do. That's right. Ready for this. So, yes, SonyHall.com. Search The Friend Zone. It is on February 13th. Doors open at 7 p.m. Come check us out.
And we're super excited for the plans we have with Friend Zone this year. We're doing our tour a little bit differently.
Yes.
It's going to just be a lot of really cool events happening. We can't wait as the months roll out that we can tell
yes.
you a little bit more about that. But just know that we have a lot of great content on the way. 2020 feels good.
Yeah,
yes, it does.
We ended 2019 with a bang with that show
we
in Atlanta.
Did. It was such a great tour.
Yes.
That I have to say, I loved touring. I had to make sure I was being authentic. I'm like, do you love touring?
I
love aspects of it,
right.
But something about that last tour really felt good.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of it had to do that Jade and Kia were there with
yes.
us.
Absolutely.
It's always extra fun to me when it's a family affair. So let's jump in, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a black business.
How black is it?
Very black. Mm-hmm. So you remember, I don't know if it was last year. I don't know what year we're even in at this point. As far as black businesses, we've been doing this for a long time. But Remember we mentioned Giphetize?
Yes.
Which is the app where
I use it.
Exactly. It was a game changer, honestly.
It integrates right into the iOS.
So the creator of Giphetize is it's a she and she's a tech genius.
Works
is. I started following her years ago once I started really getting into cryptocurrency because she is beyond financially literate, and I love it because she knows how to break down really complex conversations like cryptocurrency and like financial literacy and even things having to do with housing and taxes, you name it, everything with finances so that we can be confused about. She just got it. She's just brilliant, many different fields. So when I followed her, once I started learning about Bitcoin, I just was like blown away at how much I was learning from her just from every tweet. So I would suggest you follow her Twitter just off top. Her Twitter is _SB. And she also is a creator of Giphetize, but she just released a financial starter kit. And I think that's so awesome. As soon as I saw it, I was like, let me save this because we're going to need to announce this on the show. So she explains this as the financial starter kit, gain financial literacy and avoid the pitfalls of the American dream. And it's a book for gaining a complete understanding of financial literacy. Learn how to avoid the common financial traps that people fall into and create a solid financial foundation. My favorite part is that not only is it the starter kit book, but it also comes with money allocation spreadsheets.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is a big deal.
Yes.
So like, you know where every dime is going.
Know where every dime is going. And when she said how she's teaching you how to create a solid financial foundation, it starts with being able to see what's going in and what's coming out. Because I think that's something most of us tend to avoid looking at.
Yeah. Wow, it's one of my favorite things to look at.
Dustin, because it creates a lot of anxiety surrounding that. Sometimes it's easier to just, ignore it a little bit. So I love that she's making us face. She's making us face all of this. It's January, top of the year.
Okay.
So financialstarterkit.com and her Twitter, if you'd like financial tips throughout the day, is _SB, and if you hit her up, tell her I sent you because I am a huge fan of hers. And that's it for this week's Black Business.
Dope. Amazing to start the year off.
I mean, amazing. Spreadsheets.
We've spent all this money at the end of the year. We want to get ahead of the tax game. So
and we're having Budgenista come back on next month.
Can't wait.
I'm telling you.
Actually was hoping that it was going to be this month, but she's on vacation, and we have to honor people's
vacation
space and time,
sis.
Especially vacation.
She got the money.
Okay. I'm sure that vacation's on the budget too, and I know it's a big budget for that vacation.
Nista.
Okay.
But next month, she's going to come bless us with her wealth of knowledge, right? So that's it for the Black Business.
I just now found out what Bitcoin was, though.
Yeah. Even though we had a whole episode?
Yes, because all this time, I was thinking it was a mean women's financial group.
Here he goes. You see how I thought you were
leaving.
Serious?
Can I just go?
Bitcoin. A whole bunch of mean women with money in a group.
Be quiet.
So we...
And then he's going to be like, and he's going to shake
I'm trying to drive the boat.
Bitcoin. Speaking of, never mind.
So we figured because it's the first episode that we would kind of ease into the year instead of just like boop jumping and giving y'all segments straight up, even though we could have done that, but we didn't want to.
Right.
So
go on my knuckles and white.
So my first question to you guys, how was your 1 month break? What a blessing, huh?
A great, wondrous blessing.
A luxury,
an amazing blessing to have this 1 month break.
Oh, it was, my God.
I actually, last week I was like, I wouldn't mind coming back early just because I needed
Dustin
the distraction.
And Dustin and I ignored you.
And that was fine. That was totally fine because I was probably going to be on that Tuesday, but I was just playing, y'all. But it was great because the break was really up and down. I had a lot of highs and lows.
Yeah.
But it was, yes.
How low were the lows?
Low. I feel like 2019.
The fact we're laughing at his lows.
Listen, Ari Lennox, I've been low before. Okay, I know she's saying broke, but all I know is 2019 was trying to take me out, and then I had to hit Santana on the beat. I'm a bad bitch, y'all can't kill me. And
I met him over the break.
Did you?
You I met Santana.
We got pictures together.
Tell y'all a story.
We chilled. Like, I know, like, I met Santana. Well, go ahead. I'm in interrupt.
I met Roland Ray.
You met Roland Ray?
No, but it wasn't
Oh my God, Fred! You got Dustin, and he believed it like, so hard.
That was amazing.
I don't want to curse. I was like, "You lying?"
Because
Roland Ray is funny.
Meeting story.
Funny, y'all. I'm sorry.
As fuck.
Oh my God!
I was bothering Asante when we were in Atlanta because I said something. Oh, it was dollar.
Oh, dollar.
I was saying, I asked him. If, I was like, "Do you have a dollar?" And then he looked at me like, "Why the fuck did you say
that?" Like, "Oh, the fuck, bye."
I can't say dollar regular. No
and
now
every time she says it, she be like, toller.
Have y'all ever seen that video of him? There's a girl that's popular on Instagram named Deja. They call her Meatball.
What?
It's a long story. But
like this is
it's a video of him arguing with her on Instagram Live. I'm just going to leave it there. I'll send it to you.
I need to just follow him.
Yeah, you might as well. What were we even talking about?
Oh, yeah. So, Asante, you were talking to us about your lows.
Well, listen, the low was over as of Christmas. Christmas, I ended it. The present to myself was, well, the present was I got to go to Atlanta to surprise my family.
Oh.
And so the present to myself was to leave all the bullshit behind before the year even started.
Amen.
So, Atlanta was amazing. Got to smoke out with my cousin. Got to see people from up here down there. It was just a fun getaway. And then I spent New Year's in D.C. with Crystal. Shout out to Crystal. Mm-hmm. Adrian had a section of the club.
Can you talk about how great you looked?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
With that suit.
Thank you.
And the hair.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
Absolutely. You deserve it.
You know, I never dress up.
That's why I was like, this is really
Listen,
nice.
I never dress up. So I made sure I had everything. The only thing I was missing was a belt. And I was very upset with myself. But my pants fit. So, oh, no, I had my belt. It was.
I just would have had ass cleavage.
Well,
you know, you look great. And I've been loving the hair. You've been like playing with the jewels and
them. Oh yeah, you know, shout out to Sculpted Beauty, you know what I'm saying? That's my braider. You know, she do her thing. Every time I go see her, she's like, what do you want to do to your hair? I'm like, anything, just make it look cute. And she always makes it hot, always makes it look, you know, something relatable. It's not we just
with
have
the
fun.
Greens.
We have fun. We watch TV together. It's amazing. We were watching The Circle together. You know, shout out to my friend.
Oh, we gotta talk
yeah,
about
we gonna come back to that.
But wait, how was New Year's in Atlanta?
New Year's I spent Christmas in Atlanta, came right back to New York, and then I went to DC for New Year's.
Oh, that's right. DC,
so yeah,
DC.
I got to hop around a little bit. So
how was it?
That was a testament to me traveling more this coming year as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, I just like to travel. I never like to stay in one place for too long. DC was an amazing time. We were at the park. We were having so
park.
Much fun. Been to the park a million times.
Oh, that's the name of the club?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant y'all at the park.
No, but that probably would have been fun too.
I was like, is that really fun?
I mean, I know Auld Lang is singing, but damn, like
coming from a friend, like the park was fun.
That was fun. That's what you did for New Year's. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we were at the club, the park. You know, I always have issues going out because I'm always about the music. I was just mad that we didn't get to hear anything from 2019 at the end of 2019.
Wait, the DJ didn't play.
Oh my God.
That's kind of cool though. No? Okay.
What kind of music were they playing?
It was like the old stuff. I was like, DC,
what
I know
you mean
y'all know
the
better.
Old stuff.
Like, you know how there's like that, and I'm from Atlanta. You know how there's like that old Atlanta like set, like the Swag Surf and the No Hands and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was going on entirely too long. And then I look up and it's the new year. I was like, I didn't hear Megan Thee Stallion. I didn't hear one Megan Thee Stallion song. I didn't hear a Drake song from this year or the last year. I heard Drake songs from like 2 years ago. I was like, what's going on?
That's interesting. Was he an older dude?
I have no idea. But shout out to y'all, DC. Y'all need to do something about the DJ. Y'all don't got to remove him. Just let him know the critique. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going for bad music in 2020. It's just too much music. Artists put out music too damn much. So we just got to get it. Speaking of, ending that on a good note, the music. Friend, how was your Christmas, New Year's, New Year?
My break was great. I, to be honest, completely withdrew from society.
Mm-hmm.
I did not celebrate Christmas.
You was on your Lauryn Hill shit.
Yeah.
I
mean, to be honest, I'm not really like a big holiday person.
Mariah?
No. I get all tinfoil hatty. I'm like, this is a marketing holiday. Which also is nice because I don't have to partake.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone around me knows that already, so no one expected me to really come places, which is always nice. I'm someone that I genuinely enjoy that. Like, I don't want to be in houses.
You. No one put up on you with a mistletoe?
No. Oh, no. So, no.
Celebrate then. Ho, ho, ho.
But I got a lot of sleep, which was needed, which I feel completely rested. And then I was able to really devote a lot of energy to my apartment.
Which looks fucking
epic.
House, what's the name of that magazine? House Beautiful.
Okay.
And that means a lot to me, you know, because it's important. That's where I spend most of my time. So it was nice for me to actually start curating each space. And I have to thank, I guess this would be like a bonus black business, Justina Blakeney, who is a creator of this website called The Jungalo. And remember I was showing you when we were at Crystal's house?
Pillows and everything. You said she does everything.
She does everything. She's incredible. She has this really kind of like maximalist, bohemian, eclectic, just really fun. She doesn't match anything in her house. Everything's like clashing and patterns and colors and
Sounds calm. You know, that's my kind of calm.
Is
for real.
It?
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I'm not someone that normally gravitates towards that. I like my kind of soft colors and earth tones. And I don't even really do too many pops of color, maybe from my plants and art on the wall. But as far as like furniture itself, I like to keep it neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, I met her a couple years ago in L.A. We had a campaign together and then kind of just became cool friends after that. And so watching her grow, like she has furniture at Anthropology and at West Elm. And I'm like, what a dream life. You know, she just gets to share her vision for curation and it ends up in all these awesome places. So I was showing her like how I had just moved And then I actually got inspired by her Instagram, which if you want to check it, it's The Jungalo, J-U-N-G-A-L-O-W, really inspiring. And she inspired my wall color. Like she really kind of kicked off.
Moroccan.
Yeah, Moroccan sky, which is like a kind of a clay color, kind of like a terracotta, but a little warmer. And
I've
then that kind of, I love that word. I love that color. And it kind of kicked off the vibe.
It just looks like breast. I like the color. It just makes you want to just lay and just, it's just breast.
Oh, my God.
And then I got an art piece that she created called Nude Woman at Sunset, I think it's called. And it's a nude woman laying on a beach that she painted and the sunset behind her. It's just a vibe. So that... I got a lot of bed sets from her. So she really is a focal point in my bedroom. Just her vibe and style. And it's really nice, I think, to like have stuff that your friend made.
Yeah.
Like when I hired a task rabbit to help me put up some of the art and like the heavier mirrors and stuff. And she walked in and was just like, oh my God. She was like, this is incredible. And I gave her, you know, the Jungalo website and showed her like where I got a lot of stuff. And I've just been obsessing. Wow. Me and Crystal are going crazy. Crystal just ordered like a whole new apartment.
Yeah.
We both have just been nesting out of our minds, though. Like,
it's been great on both of y'all, honestly.
You saw when we went to Crystal's house, how different her living room felt. Like, so we're both in that space, and it's been kind of fun to obsess over our apartments together. And I'm hoping she comes to Brooklyn soon. But, you know, I'm working on that. Chief of campaign, chief of staff over here.
Just got a tricker.
Right?
Just get in the car.
But otherwise, it's just been fun. Spent a lot of time cultivating my space, sleeping, hanging out with you guys and family and just like not working, which was great to just not do for a month and not really be creating anything, just kind of just like feeling each day out and whatever it asked of me. So that was really nice.
Amen.
To just have a day that Fran just got to be Fran. What about you, Dustin? What did you do?
My break was a lot like Fran's. I really didn't go anywhere. Yeah, the fuck.
I was going to say, now.
I said, really?
Nigga, please. So Christmas was lit. I got a chance to go back to Flint, be with my family.
Yay.
So shout out to my family. And shout out to everybody I saw in Flint. I went out and hung out while I was there. So it was
That's
very
the best, right?
Authentic. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted. So I was satisfied. New Year's Eve was amazing. I went to Atlanta for one of my great friends, Antonio. He threw a huge New Year's Eve party at 595, so that was great.
Sweet.
It's themed to Mission Impossible. Everybody was wearing like tuxes and like slim suits. Everybody looked real Mission Impossible-ish and shit. And I had on gray sweats. So it
Wait,
was great.
Really?
Yeah. It was great on stage all night. We just had a great time. It's my favorite holiday, like whatever. So the next day it was a bomb-ass cookout. And so that's where I saw Santana. Santana was at the party on Saturday night, and when he came in, the DJs played his music and shit, and Santana like moved through the crowd rapping and shit, and he was on stage where we were.
He was okay, because I know he had an incident.
And he had security too.
I hear that.
So anyway, the next day there was a huge cookout. Antonio had a cookout the next day, and Santana was there. Excuse me, y'all, I just had that Red Bull. And Santana was there. And so that's where I met him. I got to talk to him and stuff. And so we chilled. We took pictures and all that.
I'm going to show him to you. And he's cool.
Coolest. Just exactly what you see
what
is
what
you
is
get.
What you
yeah,
get.
Very
I
cool.
imagined. Yes.
So that was dope. Then also, I talked about him before, but shout out to my friend Antonio Brown in Atlanta, too. He's a city councilman in District 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remember we were voting for him.
We sure were. And so he is doing a lot of great things in his district. And one of them is this huge mural that he had painted. They were supposed to dedicate it today, but I'm not sure if they actually met that deadline. But it's, I can't remember the exact length, but it's very long in a section of District 3. They commissioned like one local artist and 11 other artists to do it. And it pays homage to Black history figures from the area. And then on the end of the wall, from the end of the mural, whether to the end of the block up to the main street. I know these are very vague landmarks, but that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So from the end of the mural up to the end of the block, they're painting the wall with like chalkboard paint so that when people come take photos, they can tag it with chalk. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it's right in the middle of an area that they're revitalizing and making like this really walkable community full of like local merchants and shit like that. So that was dope to see. So shout out to him. And his birthday actually was yesterday, January 13th. So shout out to Antonio Brown. But Atlanta was dope. I had a great time there. Let me think what else. New York was amazing. I've had a great time.
I can see why that
I
smile.
I just had a great time.
It was a good break, time. Huh?
New thing. Something new.
Okay.
Something new.
New
yeah.
Monica.
Yeah. New Monica. Can y'all believe it's 2020?
Yes.
Do you remember
and
Y2K?
This ain't Barbara Walters.
Y2K.
Everybody was scared that
buying
the world was going to end
and
shit.
Dumbasses buying water and batteries.
Oh, gosh, I don't even want to try to remember why we were freaking out.
Everything's going to blow up because nothing can handle the dates. If y'all don't get the fuck on somewhere, like...
Meanwhile, we all on AOL Instant Messenger and shit, like, so what you doing later? Like, trying to link up and shit. It's children.
Did y'all see the video that went viral? It was, like, these athletes that were born in, like, 1999, 98, and year 2000 babies. And they were showing them images and asking them if they knew what it was. And so they showed them, like, the AOL login screen. And the kids was like,
no,
what is this?
No idea.
I don't know why that had me dead.
They and they
know.
Looked at it with disgust.
Like, they were
friend,
so, they were like, nah, but for real, what is this? And they were showing them, like, they showed them a picture of TLC. And they were like, Destiny's Child.
Listen, only old people brag about like T-mail and BlackBerry Messenger, like pins and stuff. That's what what I learned.
Remember BGC?
I don't know. Yes, you know what? You want to hear? You know what's really really funny? Me and XD met on there. Like when they first
Take
got like
the forums.
We used to be in the forums, but when they first introduced like the YouTube section or whatever, he was doing YouTube videos and I was doing YouTube videos, and like we were both posting there. And so then
wait,
we just
what do you mean a YouTube section?
Like a section
you could
just
post links?
Yeah, you could post, like if you were like a YouTuber that talked about shit, because at the time like a lot of gay folks was on there either telling stories or showing them hang out with their friends. And then there were people that were also trying to do like their first YouTube series and shit like that at the very, very beginning. So they were like edited with like Windows Movie Maker.
That
That's crazy.
I was
hub for creatives.
Loved that. Look, Black Gay Chat was the original troll. Like, trolling of all trolls, like between the forums and
my
everybody
picture
doing
made it to the front page.
So you was lit. You was on the front page regardless. I was on the front page trolling the forums.
I'll never forget because I used to be a huge Jewel Santana fan.
Oh my God.
So it was intentional. I had like a American flag bandana tie.
Oh
headband.
My God.
Calvin Klein used to make these white long sleeve undershirts.
On the front
so
page of this website. They would
Wait,
always
it would
do.
Just be you or was like an explore page?
It was sort of like an explore page, but there were only every category. I'm trying to be as vague as possible.
Okay.
Every category would win a sexiest person in that category.
Sexiest member of the day.
And what category was yours, Dustin?
The winning lane. Okay.
the main category. So he had the big picture. Look, it wasn't just his name.
Moving
it was the picture.
On. Okay.
All I know is that was the original day of like Blog Talk Radio. That was
time.
Need to get back. Oh my God. These kids will never know about that.
I know.
Blog Talk Radio came and died immediately. But like Facebook lasted
Blog
the
Talk
whole.
Radio.
Right. Them symbols and shit. Joanne the Scammer used to do a show on Blog Talk Radio, call into somebody's show from BGC.
Wow.
Yes.
That's so crazy.
You just took me back to a time. I got to troll XD about that. That's
and you
a time.
Speaking of XD and YouTube, over break, Jade showed me his YouTube channel.
You never
from
seen the video?
The
yes.
Did y'all see when he did window seat?
That is exactly.
I helped him do that.
What I was going to bring up.
I was picking up
and
the
fact
the
that you were behind him.
Did you see me?
Did you see this video,
I know
Dustin?
Exactly what you're talking about.
So
yes,
XD
I've seen
recreated, for those who don't know what the hell we're talking about, XD recreated Erykah Badu's, was it window seat
yes.
video where she walks through Texas like
naked.
Taking off her clothes and gets naked. He recreated it in Central Park.
One of my top three XD
videos.
With
Asante crawling like 5 feet behind him, picking up the little boots and the little shirts as he's dropping them. Oh my God.
Now, if they really wanted to take you back, XD did this video where he was recreating waiting to exhale.
why won't you guys get back on YouTube? I don't understand.
Oh my God. You know what? Like, that was such a time between like the editing and the ridiculous perspectives that we had. Like, I'll never forget when I did.
You look like a baby.
I look completely different.
And like, we're still with the shit.
A baby. A
was with
baby.
The shits a little bit more, honestly. Like, I had to tone all the way down because Atlanta me, like, coming out, like, on YouTube was, like, a whole
another dangerous combination.
Yeah, I used to do YouTube review videos of, like, Real Chance at Love when that was a damn show. Like,
wow.
A spinoff of a spinoff of a spinoff. Like, nobody even remembers those people, but I was doing YouTube videos of that. And then at one point, I did a parody of
Rest
Beyonce.
In peace to Real.
Rest in peace to Real.
Mm-hmm. Rest Real in past?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, yes.
Yep, he had got sick. I want to say he had some sort of cancer, but he got sick mm-hmm. randomly.
Wait,
like
no disrespect. Which one was
the
Real
one
with
the
long
hair?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah. You know
wow.
how I used to remember? Because I would have that same dilemma.
Yeah, like the
it
two
was
brothers.
His real hair.
Got you.
So I'd be like, Real.
Got
you.
Know?
You
got
to do your hand like this. Real.
Because his hair did look like you could just comb
real,
right through
yeah.
it. So
yeah.
it did look like that.
Wow.
But yeah, my favorite YouTube moment had to be when I recreated Beyonce's Why Are You So Jealous? And I just like edited myself in two different places. It was funny.
You are funny.
A great stupid
is, are these videos still up?
They are hidden away.
Damn.
They're all on private.
That sucks.
There's like maybe two
keep
videos.
It on the playground.
Free yourself.
Put your shit out
Never.
There.
These are old clips. Who knows where they'll pop up or resurface.
Mm.
They'll just be laughs on Twitter one day. Who knows?
Mm.
Speaking of laughs on Twitter, the war.
Yes. So...
Just
you know
because
what's funny?
We're talking about being old and too old for the draft.
No, yeah. So I had to Google because I was like, where did this conflict start?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the U.S.-Iran conflict. And CNN.com actually had a look at this, how cool this is. How it like.
Oh, a complete
isn't
timeline.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
A complete timeline of the U.S.-Iran conflict. And it says, tensions between the U.S. and Iran hit a boiling point this month, but they've been simmering for decades. And it takes you all the way back to 1951.
Damn.
Right? And then breaks it down, like, literally every 3 to 5 years, it just breaks down what happened and takes you all the way up to 2020. It was really interesting, actually. I'm not going to read everything, obviously, because
right.
it's quite a lot of information. But if you, like me... were admittedly, you know, lost mm-hmm. on like where this started and why it's like coming to such a boiling point at mm-hmm. this like right now in 2020. I would suggest looking this up. Like I said, it's called the U.S.-Iran Conflict: A Timeline of How We Got Here, and it was written by Harmeet Kaur. I hope I'm saying that right. Kaur, Alan Kim, and Ivory Sherman, and it was published on January 11, 2020. So you can definitely look that up and it'll break everything down. Really comprehensible and easy to read and follow through. But one of the biggest issues that was coming up with this conflict was how Twitter reacted to it.
Yes.
And jokes, people, it was very divided. Mm-hmm. There were some people that felt like this isn't funny. And it's not funny. I understand that. There's nothing about this that's funny. There was one young man that actually posted a video of his nephew. Did you know it was a video of his nephew who lives in Iran?
The young boy.
Yes. And he was saying, while y'all are cracking jokes, these are the people that are going to be affected. You know, and possibly killed and hurt and having to deal with the bombings and just the repercussions of these missiles. And so it was interesting to see him put a face, you know, because sometimes you hear about things like that and it's easy for us to overlook it because we're not there. But when he put the face of the kid in the video, you saw people kind of being like, damn.
Yeah.
But there were also people under the tweet that said, I don't give a fuck. Fuck that kid. You know, like it's like just Twitter. Yeah. It's Twitter. So I'm curious how you guys felt about the division. Should we limit to our jokes on Twitter, or is everybody going to get these jokes? Especially that y'all are both comedians.
Everybody's going to get these jokes. I didn't even make none. I'm just saying, like, Twitter's one of those places where everybody's going to do whatever they want to do. And, like, I feel like there's a certain set of people that get on and all they want to do is laugh. And if shit, like, they might be dealing in real life like, oh, shit, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. But they just be like, let me just take this moment to Twitter just to laugh. Like, it's their relief. It's not necessarily they think this shit's funny. They might have talked about it seriously the entire day. And just have taken that moment to laugh about it. Now it's like, damn, now can't nobody laugh? But I didn't laugh. I didn't actually see a whole bunch of it because I'm just kind of disconnected. But I've always felt like people are going to do whatever they want. They're going to laugh at stuff that might not be funny. And not that we have to kind of deal with it, but we just kind of have to choose to go with it or go against it. And if that's a hill you want to die on by going against it, then fine. And in this situation, it's worth, you know, going on that hill. You're not necessarily even dying, because it's like there are actual people that are dying while y'all are laughing. It's just very hard to kind of police the way people use the internet. So I just feel like people gonna get the jokes whether they want them or not.
Dustin,
I saw people who disapproved of the fact that people were making jokes related to the fact that we may be going to war. But when I actually looked at what was going on, the jokes that I saw that were being made were all from the perspective of a soldier in the war. So,
like us getting drafted.
Yeah, and like just all the jokes I saw were like what you would be doing if you were a U.S. soldier that had to go participate in this war and were unwilling to. And I think that sometimes people get lost in the fact that a joke is taking place and really don't understand or even really take time to interpret like the layer underneath the joke, the fundamental element of the joke, which the recurring theme that I saw in all the jokes that I did see was that we don't want to participate in this war. We don't want it to be going on. So because of that, if I was a soldier that got drafted, I would have this disposition while it was taking place. That's where the joke came from.
Right.
And I think that got kind of lost along the way. And I think that if people who were angered by the fact that jokes were being made in relation to the fact that this war was going on would have kind of stepped out of their personal feelings for a second and really looked at what the jokes were, they would have had a different perspective. I didn't see jokes, you know, saying that kids deserve to die. I didn't see jokes saying, ha ha, look at the people that we're going to go over there and attack. I saw jokes that meant, I don't want to go to this damn war. I don't think it should be happening, and I don't want to participate. That was the root of all the jokes I saw. So I wasn't offended by them, and I didn't deem them disrespectful to what was going on. Now, I'm different, because I'm a person who can laugh at anything.
Right.
And I find humor in the most dark, low moments of my own personal life. So you know I'm doing it in theirs too. So like that's different. And I also know the intention behind the humor. So sometimes you got to get the stick out of your ass just because you want people. And I also think that it's of note that we make mention of the fact that the people who did take issue with the fact that these jokes were being made, that at the end of the day, they just wanted people to take seriously what was going on, understand the weight and the gravity of it. And make whatever decisions they could in their world to kind of, you know, make peace or could take this seriously and really, you know, place the blame where it needs to go and work towards some sort of solution, and that's what people wanted them to do. So I think that both groups of people, those joking and those who were pissed off by the jokes, y'all really had the same intention. Nobody really wants this to be taking place. We're pissed that it's taking place. They're pissed that it's taking place. Some of us have just decided to laugh during this experience, and some of us feel like since we're pissed, we shouldn't be laughing.
Right.
And that's really it. I don't give a fuck if you're mad, because if I saw something that was funny, I was going to laugh. And if I have something to say that's funny, I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. So that's my personal policy. But when I look at the broader scope, that's how I feel.
I mean, I agree with that point, especially that most of the jokes were people saying that they just didn't want to go
right
to war. And this is what they would do to avoid the draft. At least the jokes that I saw, I'm sure.
All the ones I saw.
I'm sure knowing Twitter, it got a lot darker right. and went into different directions. But as always, I see both sides. Mm-hmm. I understand, you know, especially as I was reading the timeline that CNN posted, knowing that the U.S. has, which obviously wasn't surprising, but it was that we just don't know how to mind our business mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this had to do with the fact that the prime minister back in 1951 wanted to nationalize the country's oil fields. He basically was just like, get the fuck out.
Man.
Like these are our resources and we want to have control of it. And the U.S. and Britain were like, oh, shit, no. They're so dependent on the oil from the Middle East. So they toppled him and actually helped stage a coup to overthrow him. Wow. Someone who literally just wanted to take care of his people.
And that's where the beef started cooking.
And that's where the beef started cooking. Because after that, students in Iran took some Americans hostage.
Mm-hmm.
And basically were like, you know, until you get this dude that you helped stage the coup with out of here, because this is not what we want, you know. And then, of course, the U.S. being big balls, you know, having big balls, just created more problems after that, calling them terrorists. And even Trump, remember when he created like a list of like people who couldn't come here,
mm-hmm.
a list of nationals that weren't allowed. It was like 7 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Iran was one of them. So it's just wow. like the article said, it's been simmering for decades. So I can understand. Imagine you growing up in that and knowing what the U.S. represents
mm-hmm.
for your country and just the decades of issues and interference and bombings and stealing essentially mm-hmm. your resources, and you're become a weaker power because we just don't know how to mind our business. So keeping that in mind, I can see how jokes aren't funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If I was living there.
Yeah.
And I think one thing Americans are very good at is not putting themselves in the shoes of any other yeah. countries. But then there's also the side of me that I understand the space that Twitter is. And I've seen people make fun of horrible shit, and I have laughed at horrible shit
mm-hmm.
and have then, you know, asked God to forgive me. But I understand that that's just the nature of the internet, nature of the platform. And you know how it is. Sometimes you read something so terrible and you'll laugh and be like, oh my God.
I always ask myself, who retweeted this? Let me turn off retweets right
now.
But you see how what you just said, though, friend, was like an informed opinion, and you gave like context
right.
and arrived at a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
That there was an absence of that sort of thought, and that and it being present on Twitter and the people who I saw that were taking issue with the jokes being made.
Yeah.
It wasn't rooted in what you just described and it sensibly not being something that was funny. It was rooted in them just feeling like, well, y'all shouldn't be laughing at that. And see, that's what I mean about y'all. Y'all niggas
right.
just that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like, hey, you know, here are some bullets that you can consider, and here's why
right,
this is not funny
making
to
that
me.
Joke. Right.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? That wasn't what I saw in response.
Right.
I just saw a bunch of bitter ass people who want everybody to just feel how they feel about whatever it is that we happen to be talking about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw. So, you know, to me, it's just a different conversation, and I would listen to you.
My thing is, and this is just how I move, and I can only speak on that. When I see something I don't like, I just don't pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I've never thought of myself to go online and be like, you should feel how I feel. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, that's wild, and I just will remove my energy from it. I really am not into checking people. I just don't see the point, especially on a platform like Twitter. Like, it's kind of like you're screaming into an abyss. Then
that's
you'll end up being...
my retweets. That's why I was like, who is retweeting this? Because it's always somebody that'll retweet something
you
they
need
hate,
to modify
like
your
a
filters.
Hate retweet or something. And I'm like, if you hate this, why did you do this to me? Because you know I'm going to hate this too. Because right. Now you want me to be up in arms. And it's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be here for that. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't lie. Some of the tweets had me crying. Mm-hmm. There was a girl that, you know how they're those Twitter accounts where they post like beauties from around from around the world, like international beauties, and they'll show the girl's face and then what country she is. So it was a girl from Iran, and then this black dude retweeted the picture and was like, yo, what's up, I'm about to be your way soon.
Oh my god.
And I was just, you know, like, that's terrible. But I laughed, and that's when I was like, you know what? We're very complex people.
I saw a bunch of shit.
We're very complex people, because I could have read the CNN timeline and also laughed at the Iran joke. So we're complex. What can you do?
I just saw something about a war and knew I was too old, and I kept it moving. I ain't even stay for the jokes. I was like, war and then draft. And I said, oh, I'm not that young. And I kept it moving. I was like, well,
yeah, that was all I needed to know. As much as I struggle with aging, that was one time that I was happy to be damn near 40.
Knuckles on my forehead. But there were so many things that were funny. But what was most funny to me were the reaction, where people would take other people's reaction to things and then apply it to certain scenarios that were related to them being drafted in this war.
What do you
so
mean?
Like, it was a video of like, one of the tweets was like, me when they say it's my turn to lead the convoy or whatever the fuck, and it was video footage of this group of like teenagers at a haunted house as they're like walking out, and it was a black girl with glasses in the front. She was like scared to death and screaming, like they was pushing like go, and you guys, she had her arms out. So she's like, like the way she was like that to come around this corner. I'm telling y'all, it was so goddamn funny.
You know,
it was funny. But those things, like I said, those things were not rooted in
right.
Some sort
it was
of
rooted in
rhetoric.
Us being like, we legit do not want
to be a part of this.
Be
we don't want to be a part of this. We don't want this. I don't wish those sort of actions against those people that live there.
Yeah,
I
know. Like, oh my god,
I don't identify with this war shit at all. Mm. And all the jokes that I saw were rooted in that.
Yeah.
So. Kiss my ass, I'm laughing. You know what I'm saying? Everything is funny to me anyway. Even like the fact that now that you've shared that information, it's funny to me that like they're disgusted by the presence of Americans because they know all this shit.
Because they know
like,
all
you stupid
of that.
Motherfuckers, y'all don't know what's going on?
Yeah.
Like them rolling their eyes and slamming their doors in our faces if we was over there, it would be funny to me now. Because I'd be like, I get it.
Since 1951.
I get it.
And they showed a video. I honestly don't know how recent it was, because I couldn't find it, but there was a video with, it was some kind of like parliament video, you know, they're like in the house and
in session.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not completely familiar with who was speaking because I didn't see any subtitles or labels, but they were basically letting Americans know, like, we have no issue with you.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh,
know?
Yes.
And
I saw
thought
that
was great because it was an element of like, whew, as
again.
Long as they know that we're all like, we're all as fucked up, you know, like trying to figure out what to do as anyone
and
else.
This I know this is a shot in the dark, but this is relevant to me. Number one, again, knuckles on the forehead, like,
right.
Number two, this is why it's kind of cool that people were making jokes that expressed the sentiment that I just got finished explaining.
Right.
Because the internet is worldwide.
Yeah.
And you better believe that a lot of people, of course, we know how important Twitter and social media messaging has been to certain decisions being made globally when it comes to government and all that shit. They watch everything, and it's not just the U.S. government, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
They monitor those things. And I think that maybe that statement that he issued, because I saw that same
video. Right, where he was saying like death to America, but it was more so
America,
to your government.
He named three specific people
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
He did what Monique
too.
Said. Name names and keep it on the playground. He named names.
Right.
And I think that it was that was intentional that he put that messaging out, mm-hmm. even though if they were to take action, it would impact far more people than those three.
I mean.
But it's still important information, you know what I mean, to be shared. And all you people with, you know, your butt cheeks glued together in the back and you constipated. That's why you're so upset that we're laughing. You need to be appreciative of the fact that that message made its way out there. Like, y'all, we don't, please. People were literally saying, like, the United States address is, and leaving, like, the wall, the White House.
Not the United States address.
See, friend, it's funny. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh,
like,
man.
Wow. America.
So you just got to, you know.
This is America.
This episode is brought to you by Children of Virtue and Vengeance, the instant number one New York Times bestseller and stunning sequel to Tomi Adeyemi's novel Children of Blood and Bone. Entertainment Weekly calls it a phenomenon. The New York Times says Tomi poses thought-provoking questions about race, class, and authority. This sweeping fantasy series is described as Black Panther with magic, bringing both Black Lives Matter and Black Girl magic into a fictional West African world inspired by Tomi's Nigerian roots. That sounds
amazing. I'm loving that.
Amazing.
I'm in.
If you haven't read Children of Blood and Bone and Children of Virtue and Vengeance yet, now is the time. Ebony says they're the next best thing in literature and film. That's right. A movie is already in development with Lucasfilm, and it's sure to be the next blockbuster hit.
I'm excited.
Join the phenomenon and see why everyone is talking about Children of Virtue and Vengeance. Read it now.
Long day at work. Tough day at school. Still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve. On demand from your favorite restaurant, and the restaurants come directly to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurant in your city. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and a Dasher will bring it to you anywhere you are. Not only is that burger place you love on DoorDash already, but over 310,000 other amazing restaurants are too. DoorDash connects you with door-to-door delivery in over 3,300 cities, all 50 states, and Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code THEFRIENDZONE. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code THEFRIENDZONE. Again, that's promo code THEFRIENDZONE. For $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
So let's pivot.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your thoughts on the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Harry and Meghan, leaving the royals?
I just want Meghan back on Suits. Actually, you know, there's a spinoff with Gina Torres now, and it would be dope to see Meghan pop up on there.
Dead.
Wow. I really don't, I'm not going to say I don't care because, like, I get it, you know what I'm saying, and all of those
They're
things.
They're severing ties with the monarchy and being, and they want to make money independently because, you know, the monarchy is sustained by taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how they make their money. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're cutting loose from all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading something about her getting a Disney deal, like she was going to be
doing voiceovers.
But
then she donated all the money she made from the Disney deal to charity.
Mm-hmm.
So fascinating.
Because she don't need it, low-key. She's a princess. But I'm confused at the outrage from the... I'm not confused by it, but I think that it is... Because I know exactly where it's coming from, what it's rooted in, which is racism.
We all know that, yeah.
But it's just funny to me that you complained and moaned. You know that a big part of the reason that her and Harry said deuces to this whole royal lifestyle is because they received such a large onslaught of literal hate from the Brits because
and
he married
the media,
a Black woman.
Especially, yeah.
They have worn her down thin to the ground. And so if you wanted this person gone, and now they're saying, well, you know what?
We are.
Bye.
Right. And he dealt with this with his mom.
His mom died because of
this.
He
lost his mom because of media hysteria, literally paparazzi following her car to the point of making her collide into a wall. Like, I would say that, you know, he knows this better than anyone else.
And furthermore, that's Diana's son. So you better believe that spirit lives within him. That independent, all the things that made her such an icon to so many people because, you know, Princess Diana is one of them white people that Black people like. You know, she on our... We love Princess Diana. So
my mom cried when she died. I'll never forget that because she was in the room crying. And I was like, wow, mom.
Because she represent Princess Diana was willing to interrupt the status quo for the sake of being good and what was right.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
The greater good.
And that is something that you don't forget about people, especially when they don't have to, and when them taking such a stand puts them at risk for harm in so many different ways. And so, like I said, that's Diana's son. And, you know, Harry always been with the shits from day one.
You
always could tell, right?
That little, like, rebel spirit.
Yep. Always had it. That's Diana's son. And you see, for him to say, well, you know what? Fuck y'all, we out. That's huge.
Move to Canada.
Hmm.
What if they would have moved to New York? Where do you think they
would
have lived?
That would be really dope.
If they moved here, they would probably live in, like, Battery Park.
Yeah.
Probably, like, Battery Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Battery Park.
Probably, yeah. I would think by, like, Lincoln Center. No, Tribeca.
Tribeca. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
Tribeca
area.
Right there.
A loft
yeah.
in Tribeca.
Yep. See, Battery Park is kind of quiet. You know, over there by the Conrad Hotel and stuff. It's kind of quiet, still new and nice.
By, like, Gramercy.
Yeah, Gramercy. They probably would be over in Gramercy.
I was going to say on the east side. Yes, I forgot about that. Private park.
Come on to New York. We'll take Prince Harry. We definitely take Meghan Markle's black ass. I mean, and Archie, the baby.
I mean, shit, so there's cute. Tons of shit that they can do. Because it's talking about, I was reading something about them having to build their brand. So they're talking about book deals and all that stuff.
Speaking
to
kind of engagements.
They're going to be.
They'll be fine.
They're going to be so far beyond fine for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
He's a fucking royal.
It's going to be an adjustment, obviously, but.
But a fun
didn't
one.
Didn't you see the video where he was talking to the Disney CEO and basically like securing the bag for Megan and being like, she wants to do voiceover work.
While she's standing there talking to Beyonce.
While she's talking to Beyonce and Jay-Z. What a video.
She needs to be a Barbie. A Meghan Markle Barbie.
Oh, that'd be
and
really dope.
No matter how mad they are, they cannot rewrite history.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, Meghan Markle had the blackness keep on mm-hmm. all the way up through her royal wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And they was mad about it. Every camera shot you saw panning somebody black, the church, the preacher. Remember all mm-hmm. of that shit? She shook the table. So no matter what.
I mean,
what,
I can't lie. I don't get moved by the royals. I think it's cool, but I'm just like, whatever.
Right.
I don't know. But when she was a part, I'm like, oh my God. The fact that I was moved by that. It's a black girl in the monarchy. That must have been rough for them.
My sister has always been obsessed with the royal family. So
yeah.
I've always had to know about it because of that and shit.
I mean, I find them fascinating, mm-hmm. just how they have to literally give up who mm-hmm. they are mm-hmm. to uphold this position and this appearance. Like, did you watch the show on Netflix?
The Crown?
The Crown?
No.
Incredible.
I heard it was.
But I also wondered if she, like, how does she allow this? I guess she didn't have power over it because it's really personal. Mm-hmm. Like, it says a lot of stuff that I was like, holy shit.
Well, let me tell you something. It's some dirt and some scandals some skeletons
dirt.
Up in Buckingham Palace.
You gotta watch
me?
That show. I was actually surprised that it's on Netflix, to be honest.
Well, you know, Camilla ought to be ashamed of herself anyway. Every time I see her standing up there with them wooden piano keys, teeth standing up there next to Prince Charles. I look at her, I just think, you dirty, low down, skank. Every time I look at her, I just be like, ooh, Camilla,
you are low down.
You know Camilla, y'all know the story.
Of course. How could we not?
And then
Diana
on top
so
of that,
hurt.
She looked like that. I said, oh, you done broke up with her. You done broke up with Princess Diana for Kenny Rogers. Camilla looked like one of them 80s rock band, like she was in Chicago.
God.
Remember the band Chicago and Whitesnake and all? She looked like she was in one of them 80s rock bands and shit. And up in a St. John knit.
Terrible. So speaking of London.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to travel the boat.
I was sitting here thinking the entire time when y'all were talking about Megan, I'm like, here I am just looking at her like, damn, this
them
was the
nautical
bitch from the USA suit. From Suits. Like, her entire journey has been about, like.
I always forget. And then she was what's the show where they hold the suitcases?
Deal or No Deal.
Yeah. She was one of the suitcase girls.
That's why I'd always been fascinated. Like, it was always dope to me that she was black, but it was always like, damn, you was just on USA. And now. You're fucking royalty?
Cool as fuck.
And you black ass. Like you said, that wedding was turned out because I was like, you're black ass royalty too. You're not just,
ooh,
you know, trying to go to the other side.
I said, damn, this is how you get they ass.
They had Idris Elba at the wedding.
All up in it. You hear me? What would you have worn to the royal wedding, friend?
Ooh, what would I have
a fascinator.
Worn to the...
mm-hmm. Or just taking and did like a wrap. Friend has a head wrap on right now. It's kind of like bunned in the top. Did that, but like went up like 6 more inches with the bun. You had like a hair wrap fascinator.
But it had to be silk.
Oh, of course.
Listen. Wow.
Dupioni. The best. Oh, Shantung silk. Okay.
Come on.
Yes. Sit.
Come
please.
On. Teach me. So speaking of London,
mm-hmm.
the circle.
Yes, which are the square.
A new show dropped on us. Well, I shouldn't say new. New to us.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it had already come out.
States.
New to the States. It had already come out. What countries did it come out on already?
I don't know.
Was
it
just
was like
London?
A UK. It was a UK show.
Okay, so UK
I think
blessed
us. It's
like
the second or third season they've done for UK, and it's like our first season.
And then Michelle Buteau.
Yes.
I hope I'm saying your name right. She's so funny.
Mm-hmm. So fucking funny.
Be talking
oh,
shit in her
so
little
my God.
Voiceovers.
I don't
hilarious.
Know. Whoever hired her was so on point with that vision because yes. she, her commentary, her little slick remarks.
She's hilarious.
We should be like, please don't be naked. Please yeah. don't be naked. She's just great. She adds so much to the show, but the show itself is really funny. Have you guys watched it?
Yeah, by the time you mm-hmm. listen to this, the last leg will actually be dropping.
Oh, shoot, yay.
Ain't that some shit?
It's tomorrow, every Wednesday,
yeah,
right?
Every Wednesday. And I think they were just doing the four, and four. And I think it's supposed to be the last set next week or this week. Oh, yeah. This last set.
The last set. So yep. we'll know who the winner is.
By the end of tomorrow.
Ooh, we got to have another watch party because
that was
really
fun.
We watched it at Crystal's house, the second batch of episodes. But mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on it?
I love it. For those of you listening that haven't watched The Circle, it's like it's a show on Netflix. It's like Big Brother meets
influencers.
Influencers meets. Damn, what's the other show?
Good
Real
Times.
World.
Cause remember how
Good
they lived times. In an apartment building on Good Times. Everybody, well, Ona had an apartment. Bookman had an apartment. You know, like I was in apartments yeah. on Good Times.
Everybody is
it's
isolated.
Like Real World with your own apartment.
Yes,
right.
A digital Real
which
World,
which is actually ideal.
And
which
you
makes
never
sense.
See the other house members in person.
And you never see the other house members, but you're all connected by this digital platform called The Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And they have games. They chat with each other. They
yes.
can do private chats, group chats.
It's real ghetto like Facebook.
And then they have a rating system where they have to rate how they feel about each other, which is funny because they never met.
Mm-hmm.
And with the ratings, whoever's the top two are viewed as the influencers, and then they have control over who gets blocked. Which
and they
means,
get a blue tick.
And they get
blue
a blue
check.
Tick.
Oh, yeah,
right.
And they get verified for the week.
And then some of the people in the house are able to be catfish.
Yes, not everyone
if they
in the
choose
house is
to
who
be.
They say they are.
That Rebecca one, I
Seaburn.
Just
can't. Why is Seaburn still there?
He's so weird.
Okay, wait. So did you watch the last episode that we? Because we only left off. There was one episode left when we left Crystal's.
I'm trying to remember what happened.
Yeah, what happened?
Where the two of them kissed? Was that the last episode?
No, that wasn't the last episode.
Oh.
You talking about Joey?
Uh-huh.
When he made that girl kiss. Like they,
Miranda.
Oh, well, I think we should kiss.
I mean, was ready for her to kiss.
Why do you just like him so much?
Because he's doing it every time.
I'm a real mama's boy, you
oh
know.
Jade and I love Joey, and Dustin's like, ugh.
Who are your top three?
I love Joey. I just find him so fucking funny. Everything he says is like dramatic.
I'm ready for Joey to go next.
Why are his fingernails so red around the edge like that?
Only you would notice.
You haven't
that.
Seen
that? No.
Look at his hands when you watch it again. Like around his nails.
I love
it's
Chris.
Like red.
I do like Chris.
I think his one-liners
like
are funny, and his outfits.
Godfidence.
His godfidence, his biblical passages and quotes.
You know what, Chris?
He's just funny. I love his voice. Something about the tone of his voice. He's just funny to me.
I haven't looked at his social media, but he wears a shirt that says House of Edwards, and he's from Texas, so I think he's in with them drag queens. From RuPaul's Drag Race, because there was Alyssa Edwards, and he talks just like Alyssa Edwards, because Alyssa used to say shit like outrageous shit. He's like, "I have to go wash my coochie." I was like, "Why would he say that?" But he was talking like how the people in the House of Edwards talking. I was like, "This is why you talk like a damn drag queen."
And he was like, "You could come eat my tacos,"
right.
And then he was like, "Why did I say that?"
Right.
This is why I'm single.
Yes.
But I love it. I think Chris, Joey.
You better say the right one. If you don't say it, friend, just say it, friend.
I kind of like Shoe Bomb.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
He's so cute. His little pictures.
He's, everybody calls him something different.
Shubi.
Shout out to Antonio for naming him Shubi. That was a contribution.
Shout out to Antonio. Shabam, I don't know.
It was funny to me watching Antonio.
Oh, why y'all
Mercedes?
Shout out Antonio.
Well, because he left the show.
Yeah, you know, gotta give him a moment.
Dearly departed.
Yeah, it was just really funny watching Antonio go back and forth with Mercedes / Karen.
Oh, Karen had me crying.
She was such an incredible person.
Yo, Karen was.
I wish she would have just been herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
I mean, she's so New York, but she was stressing me out.
Them wife beaters.
No, not the outfits.
Because I mean, I was talking like, girl, I know you at home, but you're not at home. Like, you know, you filming. It's a set.
Listen,
like, so you need to really be, you know, like, come on.
No,
I'm gonna get out with one of Karen because I don't know if the circle, because if it's in London, their AC is different. But all I see is them Dyson fans.
Yeah, they look so mad hot.
I'm like,
up
are
in
they
there?
Burning up in there? What is going on with the ventilation?
But Crystal made a good point. She was like, maybe the AC interferes with the audio,
the sound,
right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's true. Something to think about.
I need AC time, okay? Don't let the circle bother me between these hours or minutes, okay?
Would you go on the show?
Oh, hell yeah.
You would?
I would totally go.
Would you go on it, Dustin?
I would do a competition-based show. I don't think so.
No? Why?
Only way I would do a show like that, like I would do a show like The Bachelor if I was The Bachelor, but I don't want to compete amongst other people. Like, no. I'm straight.
Okay, wait.
Who was it that came up in the house with the concept? I don't know if it was Jada, Crystal, or Gordy, but someone was like, it'd be cool if they did it with all influencers, mm-hmm. but everyone was catfish.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a plot twist. Yeah.
That would have been good.
And it'd be fun to watch because if it's like influencers that we all know,
yeah,
I would do it, I think.
You
think?
I think.
Something about it is fun.
You like being at home.
So it's like perfect.
But she, but
like, this would be like, and you're totally in your habitat.
Oh
like
my God. Remember we were laughing because I was saying I would come in and be like, oh, I don't feel the vibe of this apartment. Yep. Do you guys have another one?
Yeah, and you would too, friend.
Meanwhile, you and Jay were sitting there the whole time looking at all the stuff in the house.
We literally could not concentrate. The decor. Oh my God. The decor on that show. I really would love to know. I need to just look it up. Obviously, they have credits. But
some rooms are better than others.
Mm-hmm. I actually liked Alana's room. They had like a Southwestern.
Ooh, I hated her.
She didn't even have time to show
Thank
who she
God.
Was.
She was ooh, she was making me so sick. I wish you wouldn't have brought her because now I got mad.
I think Antonio's really cute.
The way she
cute.
Kept saying like, his name, Antonio.
Like, get out of here.
And I'm wondering if she was Latina.
She was, right?
She first got room, she was like, oh, this reminds me of like Arizona.
Or Mexico or someplace like that.
What was getting on my nerves was the fact that she kept saying how she was a model and how everybody was going. I know the guys are going to be so attracted to me if I post this picture. And if I post this picture, all the girls are going to hate me and I don't want to look like this model because I don't want to get... First of all, mama, this you ain't...
Stop
what you
it.
Describing, like, that's not what you are. And I don't know. It's very easy nowadays for people to... And I'm the main person who, like, I am not no celebrity. I'm not famous. Like, none of that shit. Like, I recognize that I ain't shit.
Mm.
But people like her who think they are, like,
stress
mama, this ain't, you're not Kate Moss, you're not Naomi Campbell, you're not a dude, you know what I'm saying? You ain't none of them motherfuckers. Like, so beat it with that. And I felt like she kept driving that and acting like she was just this gorgeous model that we
that
know.
That was going to struggle to be accepted.
Because
yeah.
She's so pretty and just like, girl, you look
What made me laugh with her was she was like, I like to be goofy and eat tacos. I was like, oh.
Alana, let's get this straight. There is no way you're eating tacos all day, every day.
I love Joey. How could you not love Joey? Yeah. Joey,
he's
I love
a,
you.
He's a pass for me.
Now, Shoe Bomb, Shabam, Shubi.
Shoe Bomb.
Shoe Bomb.
Shoe Bomb.
C-Biscuit.
He cracked me up, because he was so anti-establishment and mm-hmm. like, I hate influencers. Number one, you're
That's
on a show, which is kind of funny. And then when he, as soon as he got influencer, he was jumping up and down.
Which is why people like him make me sick.
I know. And it was kind of funny because I feel like a lot of people who make fun of influencers, even online, and just always have so much to say, would love to be in that position
and
more often than
called,
not.
Honey, a hater. Go ahead.
So it was interesting to see him.
Okay.
It was interesting to see that switch in him once he was the popular kid, you know, then all. But he even said it, though. He did have awareness of it because he was like, wow, I'm everything I hate. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's not like he was completely oblivious. I think he's totally realized that he was like tripping. But
who are your top three?
But I like him. Something about him is cool.
Sammy, yes. Loving Sammy.
Right now, so Sammy.
Joey.
Sammy. And let me see.
Did you like any
and Sammy? Like, that's my only Sammy.
Oh, so
is the
you
only
just team Sammy.
Mm-hmm. I want her to win.
Who are yours?
I'm between Sammy, Chris, and
And you like Rebecca?
No, I'm not to win.
Seaburn.
No, Rebecca is dumb. Seaburn is the worst.
But them cakes.
Word.
So you know, I just like Sammy is my favorite. That?
Adam stressed me out when he was like,
"Oh yeah,
the
Adam
girl that
go
arouses
too.
Me." I was like, "Arouses? Who
Adam
talks
gotta
like
go.
That?
What the fuck?" When he was writing that shit, I'm like, "Dog,
please
do you
don't
even
press
realize
send.
What you're saying?"
Yes, Michelle was on point when
Yo,
she
Michelle
was saying that.
Yo, Michelle makes me laugh, and she's like, "Please don't press send. Please don't." He pressed send.
Right.
She's wow. like,
"The
fuck.
Girl who arouses me the most." Sent. I was like, what?
And then he's like, let me press send before I regret that. I'm like, you should have probably followed your first mind.
Him and his nasty ass wife, when they did
Stop,
the personal
Dustin.
Messaging. You seen her ass nasty.
The only nasty thing I saw was his feet, how dirty they were.
And how
and
dirty
that
his
house
wife
is so
was
clean.
With that cat. Did you see that? Her and the cat both the sitting video. Up there licking each other in the video.
Stop, no, they
weren't. Soon as he opened up his video messages, it was her and the cat just licking
not.
Each other.
Don't listen to Dustin.
Why would you say
but
that?
I was confused at how his feet were so dirty and the house wasn't clean.
I don't know if it was just a hairy
maybe he was
like
outside.
That. I think it's
most
like
most nasty
on the top
people
his feet.
With pets let the pets lick their feet. That's Ew. Why their feet don't be looking like that. So maybe he's Whoa. So nasty that the pet don't even like. Just nasty.
Oh my god.
Him and that wife is nasty.
All in all, I Bro, love the show.
You need to watch the last episode.
I'm gonna find. I'm like, did I not
what
watch
happened?
It?
Just say it.
They brought somebody else into the circle.
The
guy with his mama.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Okay, I did, okay. And then I was like, another Italian dude. I was like, it just feels very white. The cast is all white men right now. I feel like 85% of it.
I mean, and there was something to be said about the only two black girls on there not being real.
They got kicked off quick.
There was a recurring theme in the casting very fast, and it was almost like it got casted by Taylor Peary.
Taylor Perry.
Okay, the white version, if
you
know what I mean.
To, that's what me and Kia were, not
I
that
can't
one.
Stand
the original
Taylor
version.
Taylor Perry.
That's what me and Kia used to call tilapia.
Taylor Perry.
Tilapia.
Let's talk about up under your arms, shall we? Many conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating. But Native's deodorant is made without aluminum, parabens, or talc. With a C, no K. I've always loved that word. Anyway, so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body. Native deodorant is made with ingredients you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. All right. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. And it really works. Native will keep you smelling and feeling fresh all day long. With over 10 scents, including their classics like coconut and vanilla, and rotating seasonals. That means in the wintertime, you smell like good winter.
Or pumpkin good. Spice.
You are guaranteed to find one that you'll love. And there's a wide variety of options for men, women, and even teens. And you know they be some little stinking asses. There's no risk to try because Native offers free shipping and every order and 30-day free returns and exchanges within the USA. Check out the over 9,000 five-star reviews from happy customers who made the switch to Native, like me. I've often been very candid on this show about how I prefer deodorants that may have some ingredients that aren't found in Native, but I gave it a try. I gave trust a try, literally, like Janet said.
Amen.
And I trusted that this is going to keep me smelling good. Now, everybody in here know I don't want to stink.
Not at all.
That's
never
one thing. Thank you. And I didn't, and I was using this.
Amen.
So that's my point. For 20% off of your first purchase, you can visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code FRIENDZONE during checkout. That's native, just like it sounds, deodorant, just like it sounds, .com, definitely just like that sounds. For 20% off of your first purchase using the code FRIENDZONE.
But speaking of shows, since we're on that wave, Dustin, I know you said you wanted to bring up some Housewives news.
I got a couple of Bravo notes for y'all.
Ooh.
Okay, number one, it's very important that you do your due diligence and go on Bravo, and or not on Bravo, on YouTube, excuse me, and watch the after show recaps that certain cast members provide weekly. During this this last season of Married to Medicine that just ended, Dr. Heavenly was doing an after show every week on YouTube. She was revealing things that the camera didn't show, the things that were edited out. Very important information when it's time to pick who to hate. Then, because, you know, that's why we watch these shows, to hate one of the people. So then also Real Housewives of Atlanta. Oh, so dialing back a little bit, I want to be clear about my disgust with Buffy Purcell on
Married to Medicine.
Real quick, Dr. Heavenly did a recap of the reunion with, Funky Dineva and Dr. Heavenly did a video together for her recap.
Hi, Dineva.
And, Dr. Heavenly said that Buffy had been trying to be on the show and be a part of the cast for the past 4 years. Mm. This year, she said, what usually happens is they all film together and then the casting decisions are made. They get paid per episode. So some people who filmed to be a friend of the cast may not be featured as much. Some people who filmed to be friends of the cast may be featured a lot or quite frequently. It just depends on, you know, how relevant to the story related to the main cast members you are. Mm. So she said that oftentimes what happens is people try to do things and throw whatever sticks against the wall. You know what I mean? And so she said that Buffy, this was her, what we saw, Buffy getting upset about the infertility comment, quote unquote, that Dr. Jackie made on the stage, which really wasn't a comment. And I'll get to that in a second. But she said that that was the fourth time that Buffy had tried to source some type of conflict with a main cast member to be relevant to the storyline since she was filming this season. She finally got to film as a friend. First thing she, now this is all from Dr. Heavenly, and she was there, okay? First thing she said happened was Buffy told Jackie, Jackie, I have a problem with you because we met at an event years ago and you acting like we don't know each other, we never met. Now everybody sitting here on these mics goes to events quite often and meets a lot of people, met you at an event, that's it. You know what I'm saying? So you know that there's really no, unless you make a real connection with someone and you keep that communication going or whatever, it's very easy to forget someone that you may have seen in passing.
Of course.
That may remember you because you're on television or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? So whatever. She said they kind of blew it off, no big deal. She said next, so once that didn't really start a major conflict, she then told Heavenly, Heavenly, I got a problem with you because you said my house manager was a whore. Heavenly said, I didn't say her house manager was a whore. I said I wouldn't have had that hoe up in my house. She was like, that's not me calling her a whore. That's just me saying I wouldn't have no woman in my house as a manager.
Right.
They blew it off, kept it moving. She said, so then, what else? There was something else that she said took place. But finally, she has this issue. So then she said that Jackie had her book release party, and she gave a very moving speech where during the speech she was bringing up ties that, you know, bind them together as a group. And she said, you know, and Buffy, you're infertile. I am too. We understand each other's whatever the fuck. Of course, they edited the I am too off, all that other shit. And so she said that they left that event feeling touched. Everybody was touched. Jackie had given such a beautiful speech. Buffy was touched in a good place, like happy and everything. She said later on that night they get a phone call like, Buffy, just so you know, Buffy's mad. Mariah got in her ear and told her, you know, you better push through with this. Mariah. This is your thing, girl. Hold Jackie to the fire for that comment, girl. This your thing right here. And next thing you know, Buffy's upset. She said, so they were like, oh, well, whatever. Like, this is just another thing she's going to try to do to, you know, whatever the fuck, no big deal. And so when they got to Cabo and she brought it up again at that table, that's why Jackie responded the way that she did, because she knew that it was coming. And she knew that Buffy was going to try to use that moment to try to generate some sort of conflict. And she was pissed that she was trying to pull her in that, because if you've been watching Married to Medicine from season one, you know that from then until now, Jackie has done a great job of protecting our brand, so to speak, and like staying out of the mess, really. You know what I mean? She's on this show, but she's not really in the mess. And so if you know that a person is looking for some sort of messy situation to attach themselves into, you know, to be relevant or whatever, a person like me is automatically going to be pissed off. Because if you got to do that, you're just not of interest to me. Second of all, if you bringing me into it and you know I'm not even really with that shit, but you want to wait till the cameras roll and to like start a conversation like that with me and like draw me in, I would be pissed and shut it down just like Jackie did. So it makes perfect sense to me. And then she said that, she said a lot of other stuff, but they just didn't believe what Buffy was selling. So that's that. Real Housewives of Atlanta this week. Okay.
This week on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
It was amazing. We finally got to the Toronto conflict.
Finally. It was an amazing
episode. Amazing. Well, first of all, you already know the group, all cast scenes when everybody is there. You know you're in for some good times because it's hard for everybody to be in the same room and things not get called to the forefront.
And you know what? Can I just make a personal side note? Just personally, I think that this was a really well-casted season.
I absolutely agree. Because I was not 100%.
Annoyed. I mean, well, Yvonne,
there was a
reason. But
she's not cast to us.
Exactly. Yeah. So there was not one person sitting there that I was like, why are they here? What
Except
are they
Yvonne.
Doing?
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
And Yvonne is a fan of the show, who knew that NeNe Leakes had a boutique called Swag and knew where it was. And she started going up to the boutique when she knew NeNe was going to be there. And she tried to strike up a connection with NeNe. NeNe was in a place where last season she really didn't have a lot of, you know, it just wasn't, you know, the ending last season, she didn't have a lot of friends on the cast. And she ended up suggesting that Yvonne be a part of this cast. And Yvonne was a fan of the show who took that opportunity and really ended up in a situation where she didn't know what to do. These are years-long relationships between these cast members on a show about their lives. You decide to not come in and be interested of your own on your own accord, but you decide to come in and try to interrupt these friendships and shit and make that be your relevance to this group. That's not really going to mesh well with people, especially after you insult the entire cast, telling them they're all fake. And then you make up this weird lie that you and NeNe came up with together trying to make Cynthia look like a bad person because NeNe wants everybody to hate Cynthia right now because most people don't like her and they like Cynthia right now. And it's just disgusting to me. And that's why they got Yvonne up out of there in a matter of minutes. It was absolutely incredible. Literally love to see it.
Kenya and Portia were tag teaming that ass.
They sure were. Portia called it all out. Kenya was acting like she was from Michigan again. You know what I'm saying? She said, well, we don't care what you're talking about.
Cynthia
we
got Marlo together just to you. Kick it all off.
Cynthia cussed Marlo ass the entire
like,
fuck out.
I have wanted this Cynthia my entire life. So when NeNe was like, that's the 50 Cent, I know. I was like, well, that's the one we need, chick.
And furthermore, what are you saying? See, this is what I mean about her. Those moments where she says stuff like, see, that's the 50 Cent,
so
I
she
know.
She wasn't wrong.
She wasn't wrong. And what do you mean? Because she was cussing at Milo? Like, what does that mean about her? Bitch, you've been cussing since we met you. And we, the people that like this show, guess what? We cuss.
And literally,
so we're not
going to
look at her and think
you.
That that's a bad character flaw. You know what I mean? On her. We don't care about that. You are going out of your way to make us feel like Cynthia is presenting someone to us that is not a true representation of herself. And unfortunately, it's just not going to happen because we've seen it enough times to know. And I think that that's the sentiment shared amongst all the other cast members too, which is why people like Kenya, Eva, Portia, all those people are kind of rallying to Cynthia's defense if you really pay attention to the show. And I love it. But Cynthia don't need them to rally to her defense because as you can see, when it's time to handle that business, it gets handled. Let's look back at the timeline. Portia caught a boot to the stomach. Get the fuck up off of her. Cynthia cussed NeNe ass out at the reunion last year. If you want to, if NeNe wants to fall out over this petty ass shit, then let us fall out over it.
I can tell Cynthia has always been about that action, and she tries to just not be for the sake of the show. Because you always see Mallory sitting back in the back.
I wish Mallory had a bigger role on this show.
I do. I wish Mallory
was cool.
Like,
shout out to you, Mallory. Mallory is cool.
Mallory
as fuck.
Always.
Yep, that's her
she
sister.
She always came through.
You stop
real
up
quick,
for him.
Like verbally and physically. Yeah. You feel like Mallory can get that ass together,
and she will. And they make a great duo on television. They're sisters
because they don't just get ratchet and just start going the fuck in. They can analyze the situation and say, "Are we going?" Is this worth it? No.
And let me tell you something about black people. Just let me know if you need me. Let me tell you something about black people from Alabama, because Cynthia's from Alabama, and my sister-in-law is too. Black people from Alabama try their best to conduct themselves with a certain amount of class before they have to come up out of that and get in your ass. Like, that's just how they roll. So Cynthia is doing that. She's trying her best to conduct herself a certain way. But you see, when it's time for you to get handled, like Marlo had to get handled, Cynthia cussed Marlo the fuck out. And let me tell you something. The part of the reason we liked Marlo in the first place when we met her in season 4 is because we thought that she could, that she was quick-witted and she could kind of keep up verbally. And she can't. It's been proven year after year when Eva it's time for her. Eva got her. Kenya got her this year. It's Cynthia.
Kenya
just
got her heart.
Cynthia just tore her ass up. You know, all these things, you know, are happening. And I remember when Nene and Marlo wasn't even cool. How about that? So, and people, I guess people fall out. I'm not really into that falling out with my friends shit, but I guess people do that, you know? So, Real Housewives of Atlanta was good, bottom line. That's what I wanted to say.
I enjoyed it.
That's so, it.
I was still reeling from Housewives. I was like, let me get out of this box. I caught up on so much other things, but that was just such a time.
Is there anything else you guys want to cover before we get out of here?
I just want to give a shout out to Lori Harvey and wish her a happy birthday.
Life is good, huh?
Lori Harvey is dope, and she got a whole bunch of beautiful black friends with her in Jamaica right now.
I saw that picture. They look so good.
There was a picture that they just, Ryan Destiny took
Ryan
a selfie.
Destiny, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Normani.
Love Ryan Destiny.
Jordan Woods.
Jordan Woods, yeah.
Yep. I love
so
this whole
pretty.
New young clique of, like, bad black girls. Come like, on. Beautiful black girls who are just hanging out together. I love it. So, shout out to Lori Harvey.
Speaking of Normani, did you hear her and Megan's new song?
I did, yeah.
Did you see the video?
Uh-huh.
What you think?
I thought that they looked beautiful, man. And my friend EJ is Megan's stylist. And I think that they really are, you know, they're gelling together. And I love the things that Megan is doing. And that Roc Nation deal, we've been seeing the benefits of that deal as we've watched her
what
career
What is it,
progress.
A management deal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Roc, nice. You see she's in them Coach ads on them horses and shit.
Oh,
and
I
like
did
all
see
that,
yeah.
Like all kind of stuff. So shout out to Megan Thee Stallion.
What about you?
What about
Did you listen to the song or see the video?
I did. I couldn't connect.
To either one? To the song or the video?
They look great.
And you know what?
Beautiful.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns. Everybody keeps
asking me. I know what songs are for me and what songs aren't. And I feel like I'm starting to age out of certain
things.
Well, see, I don't
things.
Know if that's
yeah.
like... It's just a movie. Like, maybe this is because I'm a fan of Megan. I was like, this is just a movie song. This isn't really like a... Oh, like, okay, Megan do this. Like, this is her thing. Like, it was just for Harley Quinn. So that's why I was like, this is why this is on Atlantic's page.
Yeah.
So they pay for it. They have it. But Megan has done way better.
And I'm here for Megan to start doing the pop crossovers.
Yeah. That's what
I love when artists do that. Personally, I know some people don't like that, but I love it.
That's
I'm like,
your longevity.
Show them. Yeah, show them you have the range.
And bring your art and your talent from Houston
to the masses.
All the way to the masses. Yep. I love it. And that video, the studio did pay for it. You could tell their budget was huge.
Massive.
And that's
when
why
Normani
so
was on that
good.
Diamond hoop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. And her and Megan, like, just being together, and even like the words that were written on Megan's clothes, like all that, it was just dope. So yeah. They're dope. Shout out to
look
them.
Amazing.
Shout out
I
to
was
them.
Loving the looks from start to finish of them both in the video. But people kept asking me, so I was like, I have to make sure I say something about Megan in this video on this show.
For sure. And shout out to Normani.
Y'all see that man is suing the baby for getting beat up?
He's suing them?
Mm-hmm.
But how can he do that when he jerked him of $10,000?
Either way it go, as a man, right? I'm not my cojones, you know what I'm saying? Ain't gonna let me sue somebody named DaBaby for whipping my ass. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that shit already
grown ass man. You a grown ass man.
And maybe it's
because
we, maybe it's some street shit, but I'm like, that's cold too. Like, come
right,
on, you brought this on. Like, what did you think they were gonna do when you shorted them $10,000?
And he's suing them just because he see they getting more, even more money. And it's like, how did you steal money and you think that you about
that's
to try
jacked
to get some
up?
Because
he's probably
right
gonna
way.
Win too.
What?
He probably gonna win.
Wow. That's awful.
Mm. And they poured apple juice on him, though. I was like, why would you do that?
Oh, dialing back. Sorry, really
why
quick.
Why would you do that?
Yes. It's what I'm saying.
That just I just caught up. Never mind. Dialing back, because we were talking about Love and Hip Hop, we didn't talk about Love and Hip Hop Miami.
Were we talking about Love and Hip Hop?
Right.
Like, oh, no, we didn't talk about Love and Hip Hop.
No.
Maybe you might.
We were talking about Housewives. We were talking about the Bravo shows. Never mind. I was just thinking about Love and Hip Hop.
That man doesn't say, where are we?
I was thinking about Love and Hip Hop because I was just thinking about Trina. We were talking about Megan, and I was thinking about my mom. Oh, well, I guess before I even get there. Mm-hmm. So the reason I brought up Diamonds is because I guess this is going to be the musical icebreaker. For me, it was the Harley Quinn movie, and I thought to myself, like, oh, well, if this was not the track for it, or if there was, like, another track to go in addition to this, like, who would I have done this record with? Like, who would I have chosen to be on here? And I thought to myself, and I'm going to give you the example, and I want you to come up with some, too. I would have loved a track for the Joker from, like, for the Harley Quinn movie, excuse me, Birds of Prey. I would have loved a track from Rico Nasty. Like, and it could have been more of the same what they were doing with this song, but Rico Nasty and Cash Doll. And I just wanted to say that. I just was thinking to myself, like, who would I have done this for if
Rico
I wanted
Nasty
like, a real, like, hot track that was going to go with this?
I see the attitude and shit, but to me, when I think about, like, the Harley Quinn movie, I just think Rihanna. Like, to me, a Rihanna hit would get Dick Stargate ass out the wherever they at. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
put them
damn.
With Rihanna and the Dream. Throw them motherfuckers in the studio and let them come up with a banger for this movie. Because Rihanna has the essence of a badass, you know what I'm saying? Bat-wielding, you know, two-ponytail color-having bitch. Like, I love it.
The way they have been trolling Rihanna about this album.
Liana.
Her reaction is the best.
So fucking funny.
When she posted that video, the little dog that be bouncing
in
the box.
Yes, yes.
So fucking funny.
Why is that video so funny?
So you would go with Rihanna? She would be a Birds of Prey song?
I guess. I mean, I don't know much about Harley Quinn.
I can't say because I don't know anything about that movie.
Harley Quinn? I just thought of, yeah.
If I don't know, though, I can't say who would kill the record.
I mean, I know who she is. You know what I'm saying?
I know the actress.
I know the character. I know. I seen.
Enough to know.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
I can't say the same.
I actually liked, it's Margot Robbie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I liked when she was I, Tonya. That was really, really, was that Margot Robbie?
Was that her?
Lord of the Rings?
I didn't know that was her.
Hold on, let me look.
Lord of the Rings. I am just throwing movies out.
Okay, no, but I thought I want to talk about Love and Hip Hop Miami because Jocelyn back.
Okay.
Do you watch Jocelyn?
No.
Do you want me to get you Zeus Network?
No.
You're not gonna
now
watch
that
Jocelyn?
We can talk about.
I'm
you're
okay.
not going to watch the Cabaret?
After I show you this trailer, you will. When I show you this trailer... You will, because guess what
I think you
is.
Showed me. Wasn't she fighting in like a back room?
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah.
It's just that, you know what? I was watching her on Media Week this past week. And so I saw Jocelyn on Wendy. I see her on some other show.
The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. She stopped by, which, never mind. I'm not even about to go get on them right now. And I was watching Jocelyn talk about her new show and how it's her baby and how she actually has this like love for the cast and want to tell the story. And I was like, maybe Frank would enjoy it from this perspective.
I mean.
So you know what? I will find some good clips when it comes out and I'll just put you on, Frank.
Fine.
Or Dustin will probably
will
put you
be
on during
open
TV
to
Land.
That.
I just want to see Jocelyn act the damn fool. I'm glad that
I guess
she's...
what I am curious about is the cabaret theme. Like, are they performing?
Yes. They're putting together a show that is not nude, but just very sensual. A literal cabaret.
Like the dungeon style. Okay.
And then she said it's like a
burlesque.
Club. Like,
you got to
pay for a membership and shit. So it's like classy for real, for real.
And
for
is
real.
The show like the behind the scenes of the process of putting
That's
this
exactly
together?
That's exactly what it is.
Got
and
it.
It shows
I wonder
a little
how they
bit.
Came up with that. It
she
seems
said
very
she
random.
Did.
She just was like, I want to do a cabaret.
She said she's been trying to do it for some years. Like, it's always been an idea in her head. And...
Well, I figured she's a dancer. Okay. It makes sense to me now. Why y'all?
Hey, watch Jocelyn's Cabaret on Zeus Network, everybody, because I'm tuning in.
Yeah, that wasn't really for Love and Hip Hop Miami. I just watched it because I wanted to see Jocelyn back.
Okay.
But I don't hate the cast so far because I was, you know, I always watch for Trina. R.I.P. to Trina's mama. That really hurt me because
her mom passed?
Yeah,
when?
Her mom died. She had cancer. She passed a couple months ago.
Oh, Trina.
And her album's been pulled because of some funny shit with like her manager on the show.
Oh, so, man.
A lot of like crazy shit going on there. On that
but
show.
She's on the radio in Miami. Her and Trick have the new morning show in Miami.
Oh, I didn't hear about
on
the
read.
Huge deal. So that's dope. Although Trick Daddy was just arrested for. DUI, and he had, when they booked him and went through his stuff, they found some coke in a dollar bill or whatever. And that's where the mugshot came.
Damn, Trick. Yes,
I forgot about that.
So hopefully Trick Daddy gets his shit together, but I hope their morning show is successful.
Yes.
Lots of respect for Trina.
Love her.
And forever. Everything that she's brought to music and pop culture and all of that shit. So I really hate that Trick has decided to get in trouble now, you know what I'm saying? But I also know that he's suffering with lupus, battling that. So it's just a lot going on in Miami.
Man.
So now they done brought Jocelyn ass down there. So it's even more going on
in Miami.
He opened a restaurant on the show. I was like, this food look good as fuck.
His food did look good.
What kind? Soul food?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Soul food. Okay. And not Korea.
You said it just seemed like he could cook his ass off.
I'm so mad at you.
You know that's a like there are restaurants that'll say that like soul food and it'll say it like that.
S-E-O-U-L. You know,
like, I mean, that makes sense.
Because you know they do like the chicken and stuff like real good. Never mind. Yeah, it's good.
Do you have any updates on This Is a Story?
No, we're going a different direction with it this year. So
You'll let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, I had to put that out there because they were going to ask.
Thank you. New things. Something new. Something new.
So we're going to get out of here. And of course, let us promote our show one more time.
Yes.
Okay. We will be at Sony Hall February 13th, which is a Thursday, right?
Yes.
And tickets are available now at sonyhall.com. Is it / the friend zone?
That I am not sure, but I'm going to tell you right now as I look it up in my phone, which I happen to have right here.
Apparently, VIP is sold out. Did we get confirmation on that? I know a lot of you were tweeting us saying that you weren't able to get VIP, so we were assuming that, but we don't actually have confirmation.
But what we do have confirmation of is the URL to our ticket link.
And what is that?
It is SonyHall, SonyHall.com/events/the-friend-zone.
Wow. Repeat that one more time.
SonyHall.com/events, because that's what we go into, /the-friend-zone.
Got it.
SonyHall.com/events/the-friend-zone with a hyphen in the middle of each word.
And I'll make sure to post that, obviously, under the show details so that it's easier to click for you guys. And I'll also post it on the Twitter. So that's it for us this week. We're back. We have tons of shows planned.
So many shows
Tons of great content. Obviously, audio. And then a lot of visual and a lot of in-person things in the works. So we're very excited. Hopefully, you guys are as excited like we are that we're back.
Okay.
We can't wait to read your comments so we can kick off the recap segment next week. And we're happy to be back and we love you guys. I hope you had a good break. And as always, thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye, y'all.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.